Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so the stock market tanked. Weird numbers. Look, here's the thing. I'm a little confused by the stock market. What I'm confused by is that people who look at financial numbers, especially financial numbers from our government all day long, still think they're real and react to them. That's very confusing to me. Because I don't look at financial numbers all day long and I know they're fake. Let me give you an example. And this is going to be an increasing problem is if Democrats continue to control the government, they lie now with statistics about the economy. And I mean, not in a small way. This is why whenever I see the stock market move now based on what, like, you know, they said last week of no, you know, jobs numbers looks like it's not good. Unemployment's going up and everything. I'm like, y'all think that's real? I mean, what are you talking about? Let me give you an example. This is Reuters, left-wing source, headline. This is from 2022. Missing jobs mystery puts Fed on back foot. Huh, what happened in 2022? Well, there was a midterm election, and then Democrats only claimed to fame for helping the economy was they'd created all these jobs. Remember that? So we have the election in November, and Democrats do better than expected. And then December rolls around, and I'm surprised nobody works at one of those big fat stock market jobs has seen this because it was out there with Reuters. It's weird. Here, there's a conundrum in the United States labor market, they write. A study published by the Philadelphia Federal Reserve said that just 10,000 new jobs were added in the second quarter of 2022. Just 10,000 in 3 months total? That's a jobs apocalypse, Lee. That's an absolute friggin' disaster.
Yep.
Well, how did they make that kind of a mistake? Yet the National Statistics Bureau, the one the jobs numbers come from, had previously reported a total of 1 million jobs had been created. So what, like 330,000 a month, 3 months?
Yeah.
But they oopsie messed up, and it wasn't 1 million jobs. They miscounted. So sorry, shucks. It was only 10,000 jobs. And that was the year of the midterm, right? So what do? They wait till after the election and tell you, oh, yeah, that million job creation we took credit for, it was actually only 10,000. Well, that's a jobs recession. Yeah, I know. That's a disaster. Yeah, we lied. Sorry. So we've seen evidence of that beginning to happen again this year with very strange job numbers and then adjustments of those very strange job numbers. Like literally, if you get real information, I don't know how you invest in the United States anymore. I'm not sure because the government lies now about economic statistics in much the way you'd expect from like a North Korea or a Cuba. So I don't know. And so, I mean, I was kind of just laughing at this over the weekend. Ooh, bad jobs numbers. Like, are they real or are they just to justify a rate cut so that Kamala and Joe can claim they defeated inflation? I'm thinking the latter.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've been predicting a rate cut for just before the election since last year. And I've also been predicting when they do the rate cut, you're going to see inflation spike again because these really high rates are the only thing holding us back from still having that 9% inflation. We've just destroyed the real estate industry so people can still afford food. But the problem is what the problem has been since the Biden administration took over in 2021, and that is a record level of printing money. So I was just laughing on Friday. I'm like, y'all still believe economic numbers in the Biden administration enough to move markets? Really? Okay. Or are they all just reacting to the fake numbers now? Or maybe they are reacting to the fake numbers in that if Biden says, or the Biden administration says, hey, we've got some bad job numbers for you, they're actually really much, 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 much worse and they'll be adjusted when they stop lying after the election. I mean, I don't know.
That's probably closer because I've been seeing stories for quite some time from a broad range of industries where there are layoffs going on.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, and there's also been several reports, and these haven't been widely reported. I've seen it in the business media, but that hiring expectations are down, and investment expectations, capital improvements by corporations, that's down.
We've been hemorrhaging white collar jobs, particularly management jobs, particularly in manufacturing, but generally we've been hemorrhaging them since last summer. We've been in the negative, not the positive. We are losing those jobs. We continue to lose those jobs. The reason the jobs numbers look good is they're hiring people to bus tables. They're hiring part-time, low-paid work. So when you get an assistant factory member, you know, manager loses his job and his responsibilities are dumped upon the factory manager. But across town, some restaurant creates a part-time table busing position. New job created. Right. We don't count the one destroyed.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so we're hemorrhaging good jobs that support the kind of job, like you can't pay a mortgage. God bless you, you could try, but you can't do it. You can't pay a mortgage on a house during Bidenflation with a table busing job. Yet every time a new job like that, hey, we've got a table waiting job, busing job, we've got a, you know, that kind of thing, low paying job created, we're super excited. But nobody talks about the fact that the jobs that are the backbone of this country that pay the bills, they are just disintegrating. And have been for quite some time. Manufacturing has really taken a hit too.
Yeah.
In this country. So I don't know what the plan is, but I suspect we've been in a recession for quite a while. If we had real numbers. But I'm glad that Wall Street's finally, I don't know, I guess they just pretend what the Biden administration puts out is real, or maybe they've just all decided we'll only react to what they say, even though we know it's fake. These guys are smart, okay? They went to like Yale and Harvard and places like I'll never go. And if I know it, they know it too. Meanwhile, there's this. Berkshire Hathaway has dumped more shares this quarter than any other quarter in its entire history. So that's Warren Buffett's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
They have drastically gone to cash. And by cash, I put it in air quotes, usually means treasuries. Now, people have been saying, yeah, but they usually carry a large amount of cash. They're actually noteworthy for that. This is not the first time they've done that. Yes, that's true. But this is a record-breaking amount for them. In other words, they are pulling back out of the market hard.
Yeah.
And people think maybe that means a recession. So I don't know.
I just think it's interesting the way that, you know, the Harris campaign has got those ads, which I saw all over the, I think it was the Olympic coverage this weekend. They just kept running that constantly and bragging about how, you know, she's going to bring the economy back. So it only takes, you know, one job for somebody to be able to afford to live in this country. And I'm going like, you know, they must be banking on the fact that they realize the American people don't understand that it is the inflation that has been caused by the Biden-Harris administration, largely due, and some Republican efforts too, to the inflation that we're seeing and the reason why you can't get by on one job.
Have you noticed the Democrats do not have any economic plans of any kind?
No, no. In terms, you're absolutely right. None.
Yeah, like normally they'll tell you, hey, we're going to do this. And this thing that we're going to do is going to fix the economy. They're not even making those claims.
Yeah, they're not even. That's a great point, Tara. I realize when you're campaigning for president, you obviously don't have every single detail of everything that you're going to do out in you know, already set in stone and everything. That's understandable. But there's not even a plan being brought forth.
No.
Oh, we're going to fix inflation. We're going to secure the southern border. Really? You've had 4 years to do that, and you're the reason that we're in this mess to begin with. So now suddenly you're going to fix this? And how? Because you're giving zero details, not even a general idea of what direction you're going to take.
And I'll tell you what they'll do, because I've already watched them do it. If they win the election as they did in 2022, we were supposed to win. Instead, they increased their seats in the Senate. They were supposed to lose seats in the Senate. They took that as, and I said this the next morning, they're going to go wild with the printing. Because they take that as the American people have not figured out why they're poor and why they can't afford groceries, which means we can print some more. And they did. They came back and locked in the spending levels for COVID. It's been devastating. And the only thing keeping it from spinning back to 9% is these outrageously high interest rates, which means you can't afford a car or a house.
Right.
Look, here's Kamala Harris directly asked, okay, what is her plan to fix inflation? And I'm going to keep the tape rolling while she never lays out a plan. Okay. This is her answer.
What else are you going to do to fix this problem with inflation?
All right. Thank you. Well, let's start with this. Prices have gone up. And families and individuals are dealing with the realities of that bread costs more, that gas costs more. And we have to understand what that means. That's about the cost of living going up. That's about having to stress and stretch limited resources. That's about a source of stress for families that is not only economic, but is on a daily level, something that is a heavy weight to carry. So it is something that we take very seriously, very seriously. And we know from the history of this issue in the United States that when you see these prices go up, it has a direct impact on the quality of life for all people.
No solution.
So it's a big issue, and we take it seriously. And it is a priority, therefore.
It's not even an answer.
That was the end of her statement. She was asked the next question that she has nothing. No plans.
I mean, it was semi-coherent, but it was nothing. It was absolutely no answer. Plus, it is something that she is directly responsible for.
Well,
she caused the problem. I mean, well, let's put it this way, because as you always point out, Republicans have share some blame in this, too. But the Biden-Harris administration contributed to this problem and threw gasoline on the fire.
Well, they did. And I guess what happened was Republicans under Trump, the Democrats, they did spend too much money. But Trump handed off a historically low rate of inflation while we were up to the limits of what we could print without inflation. Democrats said, screw that. We don't care. And on March 4th, 2021, Kamala Harris cast the deciding vote as the vice president. Yep. She does that when there's a tie to bring forward the American Rescue Plan of 2021, $1.9 trillion, almost all of it printed and borrowed. Larry Summers begged her not to do it. Former Treasury Secretary and Democrat. They all did it anyway. And we ended up here. That's what happens when you print almost $2 trillion in less than 4 months. They did it. Never been done before. And that was the beginning of it. So she caused this, and she's not going to commit to doing anything that would reverse it, because she's going to do it again if they win, because they're going to assume Americans don't know why they're poor, and they're going to do more of it, print it, and give it to their friends. Bizarre story. RFK Jr., who, let's admit it, is a little weird. Guy's a little off. In a bizarre video with Roseanne Barr, admits he's the one who dumped the dead bear in Central Park. What? Yeah, New York. Independent presidential candidate fessed up to being one of the culprits who dumped a dead bear in Central Park a decade ago after abandoning a plan to skin it. Seems like he was trying to preempt a forthcoming story from the New Yorker magazine, where Kennedy, 70, bizarrely recounted in a video posted to social media how some of his buddies and him, they were drinking. They thought it would be a good idea to dump the dead bear off in the park and make it look like it got hit by a bike. He insisted he wasn't drinking, but they were, when he opted to put an old bike in his car that someone had asked him to throw away next to the deceased and put it next to the deceased animal. There'd been a bunch of local biking accidents in the park that were making headlines at the time. So they dumped the bear. They put the bike next to it like the bike hit the bear. Everybody said, that's a great idea. So we went and did that and thought it'd be amusing for whoever found it, Kennedy said. And a media frenzy ensued after a woman discovered the dead bear. Couldn't believe, like, what is a dead? Was there a bear there? The bear was described in reports at the time as a cub. Kennedy says it's a young bear. Okay, they will freak out on you if you kill a young bear. The left will. So I don't know what this is going to do for him, but it's not going to be good. I don't know if this is as bad as... I don't know if this is as bad as shooting your dog, as Kristi Noem did, and thought people would be cool with it, because the dog was badly behaved. Well, that's your fault. But it's going to cause an uproar. Anything young, cute, and fuzzy, if you kill it, people are going to have a problem with it. At least some people are, anyway. All right. If you're looking for something different to do for date night, join us for a night of liberty and freedom with Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. Remember him? He's going to be at the Civic Center of Anderson next Friday. That's August 16th at 7 p.m. with the Anderson County, South Carolina Republican Party. You can buy tickets for that, or win them. Right now, we've got a pair we're giving away. 800-905-0989. We'll give it to the first caller. 800-905-0989. And during his 22-year career in the United States Army, Lieutenant Colonel West served in several combat zones, received many honors, including a Bronze Star, 3 Meritorious Service Medals, 3 Army Commendation Medals, and more. In addition, the Trump bus, as well as food trucks, will be there for the event. Call in now for your chance to win a pair of tickets. 800-905-0989. All right, coming up on the show, the Democrats have figured out a great new way to keep their voter drive, to replace America voters who don't want to do the radical things they want to do, including their own Democrat voters, with foreign voters. And they're expanding their illegal operations. I'll tell you how coming up next. Well, a whole host of Democrats, some Republicans, stepped forward to trash Trump for questioning which race Kamala Harris identifies as. Terribly racist, horribly awful. Lindsey Graham says Trump needs to stick to the issues. Trump and Vance say this is an issue. She ran as an Indian, the first Indian woman to become a senator when she ran in largely white California. Now she wants to be black. Seems disingenuous to me, Trump said. By the way, she is half Indian from India. Her mom was a full Indian. Her father was half black and half white. So that makes her a quarter black. So nobody's disputing she has black blood. That's not what anyone's saying. What Trump and J.D. Vance are saying is, listen, this woman ran as the first Indian senator. She did not want to be known as black. Now she wants to be known as black. By the way, she flip-flops on everything. She's like this with every issue, and that's true. So here's what Trump said.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one. I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went, she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you
I
believe
think,
that
I think
she
somebody
is
a- should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
Yeah. So Donald Trump has the heck beaten out of him for it. Never mind, Kamala Harris herself created the confusion. And Trump wasn't the first to say it. Liberal Don Lemon on MSNBC said almost exactly what Trump is saying. Did he get beaten up and called a racist? No, it was cutting edge journalism. This is back in 2019. He's asking the same questions. Why does she want to be black now? She's always emphasized she was Indian.
Black woman.
Okay, that's why I agree with that. I agree with that. But is she African American?
No.
But is she African American? That is a difference. There's nothing wrong with that. No one is trying to take anything away from her.
Let's go down into her lineage.
I think you're falling into a trap of that. All she had to do was say, I am black, but I'm not African American. That's it.
I'm not falling into a trap. Let me finish. Hold on. I'm not falling into a trap by that. When she goes down her lineage, many Africans landed in Jamaica and all these other Caribbean islands. So she could indeed
African
American mixed with others. But she is
Not America.
But she is a black woman. She was
Jamaica
born
did not
here.
Come
in
out of Jim Crow,
okay, well let's go
saying.
Into Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
I'm not talking about
Canada.
Ted Cruz. This is not
Cuban.
About Ted Cruz. You're changing
the
subject.
I know, but you know what? We cannot. It was hypocrisy. I'm not changing the subject.
Yes, you are.
She's a black woman.
By the way, Don Lemon is also black. So there's Don Lemon saying essentially what Donald Trump is saying and kind of what people are wondering why. This was an interview with Kamala Harris, what it would sound like back when she was running for senator in the state of California.
Certainly you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not good.
Yes, because that's what she ran on. That's why people are asking the question in light of the fact that she has now flip-flopped on just about every single issue she's ever run on. And not just flip-flop over where she was when she was in her 30s or where she was a decade ago, over where she's been in the last 5 years. That's what makes it so shocking. That's why people are asking these questions. But you can't tell a black person they're not black if you're white. That's racist, right?
More questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man.
So there is the white guy, Joe Biden, telling black people they ain't black. There's Don Lemon going, well, you know, I don't know if she's black. Maybe she ain't black. But what if Donald Trump is merely saying what people are thinking? Like people in a, I don't know, black barber shop? Hilariously, CNN actually went to a black barber shop, figuring there'd be a lot of black people there who would be outraged by the question of Kamala's race, and they would call Trump a racist. Everybody be happy, go home and get the segment they want. It did not go the way they thought, and maybe they shouldn't have done it live, because it sounded like this.
Is Kamala going to make you a little more likely or less likely to vote Democrat?
Well, hold on, Ray. Is Kamala black, yes or no?
I'm going to let her speak on that. But to me, no.
Oh, is Kamala black, yes or no?
I share that same view.
Wow.
Trump knows what he's doing with this. He does. This is a central question with her because she lies a lot. She makes up stuff and lies a lot. Folks, have you heard the Judge Joe Brown interview? Oh my gosh. On a black podcast. Okay. He's the guy that used to have the famous show. People used to watch it. Before that, he practiced law and was a judge in the same jurisdiction Kamala Harris practiced law in. Okay? You are not going to see these clips. You're not going to see these clips at all in the mainstream media. It's not going to happen. Now, if Judge Joe Brown had said things like this about Donald Trump, you would see this in the mainstream media. But since it's not about Trump, it's okay. It's not okay. Okay. This is Judge Joe Brown about how Kamala Harris was known to have practiced law.
But I got to ask you about Kamala Harris. How you feel about her?
She's a piece of shit. I was in California. She lacked professional competence, and she worked on it by hiking up her hemline when she needed influence rather than researching. I was out in California for 15 years doing my show when she was at her peak, and she had a reputation amongst the trial lawyers of being lazy. She'd just hike her skirt up and try to flirt, and she wasn't that good in the courtroom, if not pretty bad in the courtroom.
What is this come? This is coming. Okay. This is coming out of the 2019 Willie Brown flap. So Willie Brown had a wife, was a Democrat Party kingmaker in 1994 when she was 29. He was 60. He was serving as a speaker of the California Assembly. She wanted to run for office. So over the course of the relationship, Brown gave Harris a BMW. She traveled with him to Paris, attended the Oscar Academy Awards, all while he very openly had a wife. He even took her on a business trip to Boston, where he was meeting Donald Trump. So Trump remembers this. She was his concubine. I mean, it was just open, not hiding it. The relationship was well known in San Francisco. This is New York Post at the time, with the Chronicle describing Harris as the speaker's new steady. In November 1994, as his term was ending, he supported Harris, who was then working in Alameda County District Attorney's Office, To the California Medical Assistance Commission, a job that paid $72,000 a year and required attending monthly meetings. Brown, 90, has also taken credit for helping in Harris's meteoric political rise. And at the time, in 2019, he joined a chorus of prominent Democrat Party members, you know, who were speaking out about it. Yes, we dated, he said. Yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was assembly speaker, and I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. Harris, 59, was elected as the city's top cop in 2003. 7 years later, she was elected state attorney general. And he was, again, very open about taking her to public events, despite the fact that he was married and she was not his wife. And afterward, he wrote a pretty devastating editorial saying, you know, yeah, basically we slept together and that's, I helped with her career. So this is where this is coming from. This is another person, Judge Joe Brown, who's pretty famous because he had his own show, who also was a judge and operated in that legal world, saying, listen, this is how she operated. And he's doing this on a black podcast. Here's some more of his impressions of Kamala Harris.
She's 60 years old, and I think listening to her word salad and the way she talks, I think she's got early onset dementia. That's that you see, today is going to be tomorrow. So since it's going to be tomorrow, today we have tomorrow, which is why we are now. Like, what did you say? They have something in mind, but they cannot cognate getting all the way through it, which is why she's famous for this word salad garbage, and she doesn't make a bit of sense. I think since she's only 60, she's actually on a worse track than Biden was. Biden is 20-some years older than her.
He went on to explain that he thinks what's happening here is that they want someone like Biden who they can control, and that she will be very easy for them to control. And he said that's been her reputation. It's a devastating new interview. Anyway, you can listen to the rest of it because it's online. All right, coming up on the show, the new acting director of the Secret Service can't even make it a week without lying to Congress. He told two devastating lies. We'll have what they are and what they mean coming up. How are you paying for your groceries? Or rather, are you paying for your groceries? Can you still afford to pay for groceries? Or do you have a sort of new strategy in the checkout line? You know, one called shoplifting? Well, a whole host of Democrats, some Republicans, stepped forward to trash Trump for questioning which race Kamala Harris identifies as. Terribly racist, horribly awful. Lindsey Graham says Trump needs to stick to the issues. Trump and Vance say this is an issue. She ran as an Indian, the first Indian woman to become a senator when she ran in largely white California. Now she wants to be black. Seems disingenuous to me, Trump said. By the way, she is half Indian from India. Her mom was a full Indian. Her father was half black and half white. So that makes her a quarter black. So nobody's disputing she has black blood. That's not what anyone's saying. What Trump and J.D. Vance are saying is, listen, this woman ran as the first Indian senator. She did not want to be known as black. Now she wants to be known as black. By the way, she flip-flops on everything. She's like this with every issue, and that's true. So here's what Trump said.
Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much, and she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one.
College.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went, she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you
I
believe
think,
that
I think
she
somebody
is
a- should look into that too when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
Yeah. So Donald Trump has the heck beaten out of him for it. Never mind, Kamala Harris herself created the confusion. And Trump wasn't the first to say it. Liberal Don Lemon on MSNBC said almost exactly what Trump is saying. Did he get beaten up and called a racist? No. It was cutting-edge journalism. This is back in 2019. He's asking the same questions. Why does she want to be black now? She's always emphasized she was Indian.
Black woman.
Okay, that's why I agree with that. I agree with that. But is she African-American? No. But is she African-American? There is a difference. There's nothing wrong with that. No one is trying to take anything away from her.
Let's go down into her lineage.
I think you're falling into a trap of that. All she had to do was say, I am black, but I'm not African-American. That's it.
Let me finish. Hold on. I'm not falling into a trap by that. When she goes down her lineage, many Africans landed in Jamaica and all these other Caribbean islands. So she could indeed be African American mixed with others. But she is
Jamaica's not America.
But she is a black woman. She
Jamaica
was born
did not
here.
Come
in
out of Jim Crow,
okay, well let's go
saying.
Into Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz
I'm
was born
talking
in
about
Canada.
Ted Cruz.
His father
this is
was
not
Cuban.
About Ted Cruz. You're changing
I know,
the subject.
But you know what? We cannot. It was hypocrisy. I'm not changing the subject.
Yes, you are.
She's a black woman. I don't know what
to do
you
with
want.
Ted Cruz.
Okay.
By the way, Don Lemon is also black. So there's Don Lemon saying essentially what Donald Trump is saying and kind of what people are wondering why. This was an interview with Kamala Harris, what it would sound like back when she was running for senator in the state of California.
Certainly you could become the first Indian senator in U.S. history, which would be quite an accomplishment.
Not good.
Yes, because that's what she ran on. That's why people are asking the question in light of the fact that she has now flip-flopped on just about every single issue she's ever run on. And not just flip-flop over where she was when she was in her 30s or where she was a decade ago, over where she's been in the last 5 years. That's what makes it so shocking. That's why people are asking these questions. But you can't tell a black person they're not black. If you're white, that's racist, right?
More questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man.
So there is the white guy, Joe Biden, telling black people they ain't black. There's Don Lemon going, well, you know, I don't know if she's black. Maybe she ain't black. But what if Donald Trump is merely saying what people are thinking? Like people in a, I don't know, black barber shop? Hilariously, CNN actually went to a black barber shop, figuring there'd be a lot of black people there who would be outraged by the questioning of Kamala's race, and they would call Trump a racist. Everybody be happy, go home and get the segment they want. It did not go the way they thought, and maybe they shouldn't have done it live, because it sounded like this.
Is Kamala going to make you a little more likely or less likely to vote Democrat?
Hold on, Ray. Is Kamala black, yes or no?
I'm going to let her speak on that. But to me, no.
Oh, is Kamala black, yes or no?
I share that same view.
Wow.
Trump knows what he's doing with this. He does. This is a central question with her because she lies a lot. She makes up stuff and lies a lot. Folks, have you heard the Judge Joe Brown interview? Oh my gosh. On a black podcast. Okay. He's the guy that used to have the famous show. People used to watch it. Before that, he practiced law and was a judge in the same jurisdiction Kamala Harris practiced law in. Okay? You are not going to see these clips. You're not going to see these clips at all in the mainstream media. It's not going to happen. Now, if Judge Joe Brown had said things like this about Donald Trump, you would see this in the mainstream media. But since it's not about Trump, it's okay. It's not okay. Okay. This is Judge Joe Brown about how Kamala Harris was known to have practiced law.
But I got to ask you about Kamala Harris. How you feel about her?
She's a piece of shit. I was in California. She lacked professional competence, and she worked on it by hiking up her hemline when she needed influence rather than researching. I was out in California for 15 years doing my show when she was at her peak, and she had a reputation amongst the trial lawyers of being lazy. She'd just hike her skirt up and try to flirt, and she wasn't that good in the courtroom, if not pretty bad in the courtroom.
What is this come? This is coming, okay. This is coming out of the 2019 Willie Brown flap. So Willie Brown had a wife, was a Democrat Party kingmaker in 1994 when she was 29, he was 60. He was serving as a speaker of the California Assembly. She wanted to run for office. So over the course of the relationship, Brown gave Harris a BMW. She traveled with him to Paris, attended the Oscar Academy Awards, all while he very openly had a wife. He even took her on a business trip to Boston, where he was meeting Donald Trump. So Trump remembers this. She was his concubine. I mean, it was just open, not hiding it. The relationship was well known in San Francisco. This is New York Post at the time, with the Chronicle describing Harris as the speaker's new steady. In November 1994, as his term was ending, he supported Harris, who was then working in Alameda County District Attorney's Office, to the California Medical Assistance Commission, a job that paid $72,000 a year and required attending monthly meetings. Brown, 90, has also taken credit for helping in Harris's meteoric political rise. And at the time, in 2019, he joined a chorus of prominent Democrat Party members, you know, who were speaking out about it. Yes, we dated, he said. Yes, I may have influenced her career by appointing her to two state commissions when I was assembly speaker, and I certainly helped with her first race for district attorney in San Francisco. Harris, 59, was elected as the city's top cop in 2003. 7 years later, she was elected state attorney general. And he was, again, very open about taking her to public events, despite the fact that he was married and she was not his wife. And afterward, he wrote a pretty devastating editorial saying, you know, yeah, basically we slept together and that's, I helped with her career. So this is where this is coming from. This is another person, Judge Joe Brown, who's pretty famous because he had his own show, who also was a judge and operated in that legal world, saying, listen, this is how she operated. And he's doing this on a black podcast. Here's some more of his impressions of Kamala Harris.
She's 60 years old, and I think listening to her word salad and the way she talks, I think she's got early onset dementia. That's that you see, today is going to be tomorrow. So since it's going to be tomorrow, today we have tomorrow, which is why we are now. Like, what did you say? They have something in mind, but they cannot cognate getting all the way through it, which is why she's famous for this word salad garbage, and she doesn't make a bit of sense. I think since she's only 60, she's actually on a worse track than Biden was. Biden is 20-some years older than her.
He went on to explain that he thinks what's happening here is that they want someone like Biden who they can control, and that she will be very easy for them to control. And he said that's been her reputation. It's a devastating new interview. Anyway, you can listen to the rest of it because it's online. All right, coming up on the show, the new acting director of the Secret Service can't even make it a week without lying to Congress. He told two devastating lies. We'll have what they are and what they mean coming up. How are you paying for your groceries? Or rather, are you paying for your groceries? Can you still afford to pay for groceries? Or do you have a sort of new strategy in the checkout line? You know, one called shoplifting? Record high number of Americans confess to shoplifting regularly. Almost a quarter of Americans say they have stolen from stores in the past year. This was according to a poll of 2,000 consumers ages 18 to 78. It's the highest ever number recorded, almost a quarter. And this is part of their shopping strategy now. Listen to this. Of those who confessed to shoplifting, 90% blamed it on high inflation and the state of the economy. More than one third say they rely on stealing because prices have become otherwise unaffordable, while 30% say it helps them to make ends meet. So, yeah, this is what happens when Kamala Harris casts the tie-breaking vote to print $2 trillion in just 4 months, the fastest has ever been done in human history. They figured they'd find out what would happen, and it did. This, you know, record breaking levels of inflation and then record breaking levels of shoplifting. And it's getting worse. Shoplifting, this just came out, has risen 24% in the first half of 2024 alone, according to a newly released data set from the Council on Criminal Justice. Shoplifting has, they say, become a major problem in cities around the country, with some store owners announcing they have to close up shop because of the increased theft. Shoplifting and looting during the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots helped spur a new era of increased shoplifting. Why? Because it became hip. It became hot. It became okay. What do you do if you want to fight racism? Because we're all good people who want to fight racism. You steal something. You take back what's yours. It actually helps people. You remember during that time we had the New York Times, we had the Washington Post, we had all kinds of liberal Democrat leaders giving speeches on how stealing from corporations, stealing from businesses is not really a crime. Well, apparently, put that with Bidenflation and people are just self-checking out with half the store and they didn't pay for it. How are you paying for your groceries? Or rather, are you paying for your groceries? Can you still afford to pay for groceries? Or do you have a sort of new strategy in the checkout line? You know, one called shoplifting? Record high number of Americans confess to shoplifting regularly. Almost a quarter of Americans say they have stolen from stores in the past year. This was according to a poll of 2,000 consumers ages 18 to 78. It's the highest ever number recorded, almost a quarter. And this is part of their shopping strategy now. Listen to this. Of those who confessed to shoplifting, 90% blamed it on high inflation and the state of the economy. More than one third say they rely on stealing because prices have become otherwise unaffordable, while 30% say it helps them to make ends meet. So, yeah, this is what happens when Kamala Harris casts the tie-breaking vote to print $2 trillion in just 4 months, the fastest has ever been done in human history. They figured they'd find out what would happen, and it did. This, you know, you've got record-breaking levels of inflation and then record-breaking levels of shoplifting. And it's getting worse. Shoplifting, this just came out, has risen 24% in the first half of 2024 alone, according to a newly released data set from the Council on Criminal Justice. Shoplifting has, they say, become a major problem in cities around the country, with some store owners announcing they have to close up shop because of the increased theft. Shoplifting and looting during the 2020 Black Lives Matter riots helped spur a new era of increased shoplifting. Why? Because it became hip. It became hot. It became okay. What do you do if you want to fight racism? Because we're all good people who want to fight racism. You steal something. You take back what's yours. It actually helps people. You remember during that time we had the New York Times, we had the Washington Post, we had all kinds of liberal Democrat leaders giving speeches on how stealing from corporations, stealing from businesses is not really a crime. Well, apparently, put that with Bidenflation and people are just self-checking out with half the store and they didn't pay for it.